Welcome to Soul Talk. I'm Deborah Hines. Today we're featuring a conversation with Raheem Devon. To call singer-songwriter Raheem Devon a newcomer would be a grave inaccuracy, given the fact he's been busy building a following in Washington, D.C. for the past several years and released a few records independently under his own label, Urban Ave 31. Devon signed with Jive Records in 2002, and his debut is finally here, in the form of The Love Experience, a penetrating, sensitive, and soulful record that's creating a buzz worldwide. The record's first single, Guess Who Loves You More, is one of those instant hits, the kind of mid-tempo, irresistible song you find yourself completely immersed in from the first beat, which impeccably incorporates an Earth, Wind & Fire sample. A few seconds later, Devon's smooth voice comes in with a sing-along chorus, and you're hooked. Other notable tracks on The Love Experience include Who, Devon's contemporary answer to Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, Ask Yourself, a super hot Till the Cops Come Knockin' style ditty, Believe, a ballad that promises ultimate devotion, and the moving, reflective title track. What makes The Love Experience so good is the combination of Devon's no-holds-barred, brutally honest songwriting and his voice, which is part crushed velvet croon and part soaring falsetto. True, Devon often sounds like he's channeling Marvin Gaye, Prince, and D'Angelo, but he's able to emulate his predecessors rather than just offer a cheap imitation. And what separates his record from the others is this: his compelling stories are clearly his own. From heartbreaking tales to sensual ballads to social commentaries, Devon's bittersweet experiences make The Love Experience a striking and relevant record. Devon spoke recently about his new record, his spontaneous songwriting technique, and how he stays in touch with his supporters. Just want to start, of course, by congratulating you on the new record.
Thank you.
And I understand it's been a little while in the making.
Yeah, definitely that.
You're not a typical brand new artist because you've been at this for some time, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been out doing my thing, grassroots style, independently, renegade, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever it takes to get the music to the people.
Exactly.
And when I recently interviewed some fellow DC artists of yours, they were talking to me about how much of a buzz you've already created for yourself, particularly starting in the DC area, and how that really translates to success for you, whether you're on a major label or you're on an independent label.
Yeah.
Is that your take on it?
It's all the same thing. And right now I'm in the fourth quarter. I'm throwing a lot of touchdowns. Like right now, I'm really about to take it in the full throttle. Like my promotion game, my self-promotion game, and like just really getting more people aware of what I'm doing, like it's really about to be stepped up to the next level, you know what I'm saying? Because everything you do, you just got to just keep moving forward. And I've been constantly building my foundation on bricks, so that's been the focus thus far. It'll change for me, like, that I'm on a major. Like, for some artists, they do, or for some artists that don't come from the background I come from, they don't even know the hustle game, you know what I'm saying? For me, when I get off the stage, I'm on tour with Brian McKnight in New Edition right now. When I get off the stage, like, I'm in the lobby, you know what I'm saying? Signing CDs, selling merchandise, signing pictures, taking pictures, meeting the people, you know what I'm saying? Getting emails, like, that's how I get down every show on this tour. In between every intermission, I'm the first person out there and the last one to leave the building. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
It's work, you know what I mean? And as long as I can do it, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just curious, what led you to sign with Jive?
I mean, I look at the big picture, everything. So I'm a business within myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that all come to, it'll all make sense at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, but I definitely just look at it like an opportunity, one more opportunity to take and experience and I can say, hey, I did that. Regardless of how it pans out, like, I'm gonna come out on top. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so, you know, why not take an opportunity to sign with a major label like Jive Records, that primarily all the artists they've signed had major success. You know
right.
what I mean? And went on to do their thing. You know what I mean? So it's definitely, you just can't lose insight that it's definitely a business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, with that being said, like, you know, I'm still a business, and I'm doing what it takes to run my side of my business, you know what I mean? So that at the end of the day, it can all make sense.
Right, and like was said before, obviously you have such a following built in already. You're not like this artist that just came out or someone saw singing somewhere and said, okay, we're going to put you on, we're going to sign you. You had so much experience, so you're okay regardless.
Yeah. Like, I think the thing is, I think even Job doesn't know how big my following is underground yet. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people waiting on this album, like, you know, like, worldwide, so.
They're about to find out, apparently.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? The more interviews I do, the more people I reach out to, the more people that know about me, that I shake a hand in the lobby, that's 10, 20 more people that's going to find out, you know?
Right, right. You're listening to Soul Talk. Coming up, more with Raheem Devon. Right now, let's listen to something from The Love Experience. Here's the title track. And let's talk a little bit about the new record, of course, The Love Experience. My first question would be, how did you go about choosing Guess Who Loves You More as the first single?
That was actually a label call.
Okay.
But the record had been done for over a year before I even played it for them. Mm-hmm. They kind of were just in a weird place of trying to find a single, being that I had a new A&R and all. And I played it for them. They loved the record. And the rest is history, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And it's obviously really taken off and built a lot of anticipation.
Definitely. It's doing real well. You know, I got great follow-up singles. I feel like I got, like, 5-6 singles on this record. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we'll get that deep into the record. And it's a cool opportunity. It's good to be able to make a body of work that has some substance. And it's just, like, it's not a one-hit wonder type thing, you know?
Okay, and I want to talk to you about the songwriting. Of course, it's, you know, on this record is very prolific, has this brutally honest quality. And I'm just wondering, do you primarily draw from personal experiences when you write songs?
Yeah, I mean, for just like a song like Catch 22 or Who, for example, like, if it's something I don't like, I'm going to find a way to voice my opinion about it, you know what I mean? or you know, something I think you need to work on, or something I even feel like I need to work on as an individual, like, you know, My song sometimes food for thought for me, you know what I'm saying?
So right.
I'm not preaching to somebody else. I'm also, like, preaching to myself, you know what I'm saying? Just keep myself on track, too, so.
So it's your own therapy, in a way.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely for personal experience and, you know, from seeing it through other people's eyes, too.
Okay, and if I were to ask you about maybe your favorite songs on the record, would you answer differently if I asked you your favorites musically or lyrically, or is it one and the same?
I probably would answer differently, being, you know, like, yeah, the first part.
So musically, what would be your favorite songs then, and then maybe lyrically?
Musically, my favorite song would be, it'd be a tie between the Believe instrumental, the Who instrumental, and Is It Possible instrumental, and the song called Breathe. Like, Who in particular, though, and Is It Possible, like, just as soon as I heard those, like, knew it, like the lyrics just came, you know what I'm saying? Like that's how I write. I don't really write the words, the lyrics down.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like I used to do that a lot more. Now I just go in the booth and just kind of put it together. 9 times out of 10, what'll happen is like they'll play it, and as soon as I hear it, I'll be like, "Yo, cut on the mic," and I'll go in there and just start messing around. And then like three, four hours from then, like the song be done. You know what I mean? It's a little different from rap, so it's like, but I don't really write like the lyrics down anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's to the point now when I hear like with certain producers, they want to send me beats. And I'll be kind of like annoyed because I know as soon as I hear it, I want to record it. You know what I'm saying? and I'll forget the idea. So what I do is just say, well, let's wait till I get to the studio. You know what I'm saying? Or I'll go to the studio, listen to the beat, and have it set up where I can just record right away. Like all you have to do is just dump the beat into the computer, and I just start recording.
So it's that spontaneous.
Yeah, I don't like to. It wasn't always like that for me, but that's the way that I did like 90% of the record like that.
And now as far as the writing, lyrically, like from a writing standpoint, what would be some of your favorites?
Song Who?
Mm-hmm.
The song, like people really need to listen to that record, like Who, Catch 22, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are straight to the point. They're not sugar-coated, you know what I'm saying? Like, you definitely need something to think about, you know? I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of different stuff on these records.
You're listening to Soul Talk. Coming up, our final moments with Raheem Devon. Right now, let's listen to something else from the Love Experience. Here's Who. Before we let you go, we should add here that folks can reach out to you through the Love Experience website and the Urban App 31 website of yours, right?
Well, I got a way for people to just reach out to me directly. You know what I'm saying? The fans, they can feel free to leave messages. Let me know what they feeling. You know what I mean? Which mixtapes, I got a lot of music out there. How they like the album. You know, how they like the shows. Down there, there's a promoter trying to find me where they from. You know what I mean? So, because a lot of times people just don't know how to find you.
Right.
So, like, I've made it where you can find me. Like, it ain't hard to find me. You know what I mean? So, you know, I make my music for music lovers, so they can show me some love. Don't hesitate to call. I'm gonna give you the number.
Okay.
240-455-2434.
Got it.
All right. So, I've been getting calls from Japan and calls from all over the world.
More information on Raheem Devon is available at theloveexperience.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deborah Hines. Soul Talk is a production of Ivory Cutie Communications and Rhythm Flow Radio. More information on the artists we feature is available at rhythmflow.net. Quite
first day, and the first day, to a can't wait to do it again. Ain't no pressure,
no.
I can't just let love develop, get to know one another, from a sister.